Welcome to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this spirit-filled message, that it blesses your week and brings you joy and perspective. To connect with us, hop on social media, and for more information, head to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
Maybe you guys cool if you just be the bit of the soundtrack to my messages. That's cool. I like working with the band and having the band, kind of partner with me. But how about you grab a seat where you are this morning. And it's such an incredible honor and privilege to spend the whole weekend with you, and what a great conference we just had. I think we should give it up for all the team. And I feel like this morning I'm with the real full-on for Jesus people, because we just had, two nights, one day of a conference, but here you are this morning on a Sunday morning. Come on, I think you should give yourselves a hand. And bless those that aren't here. Hopefully they'll be here tonight. But hey, if we haven't met yet, or you didn't catch who I am, my name is Dan Karotz, and I'm actually the worship pastor of our church in Sydney, which is C3 Church Sydney. And my senior pastors are Pastor Phil and Chris Pringle, which some of you may know of, but they're like, if I can say this about or brag on my own senior pastors, they're like heroes of the faith in this nation and really all across the world for that matter. But our church has been going for 40 years, and I said this on Friday night, but as a matter of fact, 35 years ago, Pastor Phil baby dedicated me, and so I've been a part of our church my whole life. So I was born in C3, raised in C3, grew up in C3. I encountered God in C3, discovered purpose in C3. I met who is now my wife in the house of God, and we are now raising our three beautiful children in the house of God in C3. I think we've got a picture of my family that's going to come up on the screen. There they all are. That's my wife of 12 and a half years, and we met in high school. And that's my wife, Kaylee. And this is my eldest. His name is Billy Cruz, and his name means protector of the cross. We're big on names and name meanings. And this is my middle child, my middle boy. His name is Taylor Bloom. And his name means clothed in salvation. And so Billy's 6, Taylor's 4. And this photo's probably 12 or so months old. But this is my daughter. And she wasn't planned. But she was the greatest surprise ever. My wife wouldn't tell you that. My wife wouldn't have said that. But she's just been an absolute blessing and joy. And get ready for it. Her name is Rocky Love. That's her name. And her name means to rest in God's love. And it was quite a profound name meaning for us at the time, having a young family, and it's just, chaotic and crazy. But that's my family there at home back in Sydney. But my senior pastors, Pastor Phil and Chris Pringle, they send their blessings and greetings. Pastor Rob, they send their love. Pastor Chris is actually in America speaking at a women's conference at the moment. And Pastor Phil's in New Zealand speaking at a church over there. But they send their blessings, their greetings. But ready to get in the Word of God this morning? Friday night I preached a message that it's kind of like my message at the moment, if that makes sense. And a lot of what I do, almost weekends, I'm on stage leading worship. That's kind of the context of what I do. But quite often, quite regularly, I I speak and preach, and it's quite often in the context of worship, you know. And so Friday night I preached a message that I've been preaching for a little bit now, and something that's been really on my heart. And tonight I'm gonna tell a bit of my story, which I did a bit of that on Friday night as well, but that had to do with more something I've just been journeying through in the last couple of years. But tonight I'm gonna talk a bit more about how I guess came to Christ. And even though I've grown up in a Christian family, Christian home, went to a Christian school and all that, there was definitely a pivotal moment in my life in my late teens where I had to decide to follow this for myself, if that makes sense. And not just because it's what my parents, have you told me to do, or it's not just because of what I heard in church or school, but I actually had to own it for myself and make a decision for myself. And so I'm going to tell a bit of that journey tonight. But this morning, I've got a real specific word for you. I feel like, if I can say this, Pastor Rob, I feel like I want to speak this word into, I guess, the DNA of this church. There's a spirit realm, right? In our lives and in our churches. So I want to bring a word this morning that I believe speaks into that, and I believe God's going to do something in your life this morning, and things are going to break, things are going to be loosed, there's going to be healing that's going to take place, and maybe physically, probably more what I'm kind of believing this morning, emotionally and mentally, I believe God's going to do something in you this morning. I want to speak on purity. Because of the day and age we live in, more than ever, I believe this is something that is being contended. And I've found that even in church, it is a word, a thing that has become somewhat unpopular, unfashionable. And I want to go there this morning. The passage of scripture that I want to start at this morning is John chapter 4. I just want to look at verse 23, and this will just kind of preface a bit of where I want to go this morning. But John chapter 4, it's one of the most famous passages of scripture when it comes to worship. It's a passage of scripture that you'd be familiar with. It's where Jesus talks about worship that is in spirit and in truth. And it's a passage of scripture that I've preached out of many, many times before. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but you can read a passage of scripture many, many times. And then you read it, and then all of a sudden you see something that you never saw before. And about 12 months ago, I had that happen with this passage of scripture. And John 4:23, it says this, "But the time is coming, indeed it's here now." I love that. It's coming. It's now. Make up your mind, Jesus. Is it coming? Is it now? The reality is it's both. I preached a message on Friday night that breakthrough is coming, but you got to understand that at the same time, breakthrough's here. Breakthrough's already happened. The time is coming. Indeed, it's here now. Look at this. When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. It doesn't say when worshipers worship, because we all worship something. You didn't have to put this scripture up on the screen, guys, but Isaiah 43:7 says this, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory." We've been created for the glory of God. In other words, we've been created to worship Him. And because we're worshipers by nature, if it's not Jesus, we'll find something else to worship in His place. So it's not a question of do you worship, it's a question of what do you worship, or really for that matter, who do you worship? But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. If there's true worship, there must be false worship. What we think is worship, when our opinion and preference gets in the way of the purpose. We need to be careful that we don't make worship an idol. That we worship the worship. Worship, true worship, will only ever be about one thing. Will only ever be about one person. His name is Jesus. We've got to keep the main thing, the main thing. Be careful that we don't worship the worship and worship the one we were created to worship. I'm going to take it one step further. Galatians 5:14, look at this. It says, for the entire law, the entire word of God, you could say, is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't say love God. And there's total, complete truth in that. I thought last night was one of the most powerful and profound ways to end a worship conference. Because our worship just doesn't start and end with a God encounter. Well, it starts with a God encounter. But you've got to understand that a part of how we express our love for God is in our love for each other. One of the most worshipful things you could do is meet a need in someone's life. To lead someone to Jesus. To invite someone to church. That is worship leading in its purest form. And by worship leading, we are all worship leaders. It's not just what happens on a stage on a Sunday, and you know, we call the song leaders or the worship team worship leaders. We are all worship leaders. Worship grows the church. Jesus says, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Worship grows the church. And by worship, again, not just worship team. I guess a worship team's responsibility or job is to facilitate that, to release and unlock that, to lead us in that. But I'm talking about the worship of the house. As we gather together corporately, and don't get me wrong, worship is more than just what happens on a Sunday, it's your life, but there is something powerful about the body of Christ, the people of God coming together to worship. And as we worship, as we lift up the name of Jesus, He says, all men, I will draw all men unto me. Worship grows the church. And isn't the worship, like I said, I'm just so blown away by the worship culture of this house. And I think you can tell the health of a church by its worship. And I want to prophesy this morning, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. There are things that can defile our worship. Sin. Pride, mixed motives. When we make it about anything other than Jesus, when we make preference, when we make our opinion trump the purpose. Disunity and division. There are things that can defile our worship. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Psalm 24, verse 3 to 4 says, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands. To do with our actions. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. It's to do with our motives. Do you have this scripture, Hebrews 12, 14? And this is where I want to go this morning. It says this: pursue peace with everyone, as well as holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. It doesn't say perfect holiness. Thank God for that. It says pursue holiness. Holiness isn't something that we're ever going to perfect, but it is something we are meant to be in pursuit of. It's not about perfection, it's about pursuit. Some people think that because of grace, they can do whatever and behave however. And don't get me wrong, I believe no matter how many times we fall, yes, the grace of God is there to pick us up. But grace doesn't give us license to live carelessly. The point of grace is that when we stumble in our pursuit of holiness, and yes, we will stumble, the point of grace is that we can get back up and keep on going. Pursue holiness. And here's the thing, as we pursue it, Christ perfects it. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. Look at this. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us settle the matter. Come, this is for someone here this morning. You've been struggling with condemnation. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. So holiness is possible. Possible through Christ Jesus, through the cleansing power of his blood, when we repent. 1 Peter 1:15-16 says this, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Holiness is a person. To pursue holiness, yes, is to live according to the word of God. But can I add something else to this? Pursuing holiness is about pursuing a relationship with Jesus. It's about pursuing Jesus. And when we pursue Jesus, and as I've mentioned already, Christ perfects holiness in us. This isn't a religion, it's a relationship. One of my team recently asked me about my prayer life, about my devotional life. And I'm always a little hesitant to talk on this because I don't think any of us should compare one's prayer life or devotional life to another. And if there's anything I've learned, you've got to work out what works for you in the season and stage of life that you're in. So with what I'm about to say, please don't compare your prayer life to mine, or compare your prayer life to someone else's for that matter. But one of the things I've got, I guess, into the habit of doing, And I'd be lying to you if I said I do this every morning. If I don't, I'll find another time throughout the day that I'll do this. But I will quite often set my alarm for 4:30 in the morning. So I got three little kids. They're up at 6 a.m. every morning. And really, that's 6 a.m. is the time we let them out of bed. You know, so they're up, you know, 5:30, if you know what I mean. 6 a.m. is the time that they're allowed to get out, you know. And so it sounds like they're in a cage or something. They are. I get up, I set my alarm for 4:30, I jump in my car, and I drive to a particular spot not far from where I live, down on the water. And I'll spend about just a good hour just in prayer. And by prayer, it's really just a conversation that I'm having with God. And there are times, particular things that, you know, I'll pray through, or things that I'm maybe believing for, praying for, whether it's to do with maybe church life or family life or just things in my personal world. And I quite often speak in tongues. I quite often, that's how I start. I just start with just speaking in tongues. And I might spend, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes just doing that. And as I preached on Sunday night, what quite often I do is I just move on to just thanking God and just praising God for who He is, for what He's done, for what He does. And then every day, because I have to, I'll also repent of things and do business with God. But quite often as well, I just walk. I don't say anything. I think prayer can be as much about saying nothing as it is about saying something. And I think a lot of our prayer life, is us conversing with God and using our mouth, yes, using our voice. But quite often, I just walk and I don't say anything. I don't do anything. I just enjoy God I just enjoy His presence. I've done a lot of talking, and I shut up and I let Him do some talking. Jump in my car, I head back home, and I begin with my day. And as I was saying, this team member of ours was asking me about my prayer life, and so I'm telling him this. And he says this to me, and I'll never forget it. He said, "Oh yeah, that's the price, that's the cost." And don't get me wrong, I totally understand and know where He's coming from. And I think there's truth in that. But here's the thing for me. It's not a cost. It's not a price. I get to spend time with Jesus. It's not a have to or a need to, even though there's some truth in that as well. It's a want to. It's one of the most favorite parts of my day, of my week. I'm a worship pastor. I lead worship. But first and foremost, I'm a worshiper. Stage or no stage, voice or no voice, I'm a worshiper. I love Jesus. I love the presence of God. I love His Word. Man, I love the Holy Spirit. Man, I love the church and His people. First and foremost, we're worshipers. The irony is, what makes us great worship leaders is that we're great worshipers. The Hebrew word for worship, the Old Testament word for worship, means to bow down. In the New Testament, the Greek word for worship means to kiss. Both meanings are as relevant today. But here's the thing. We don't bow down and worship a distant God. We worship a God that we get to have a personal relationship with. That's what the kiss is. A lot of what religion is and religion has become is about man trying to get to God. Well, the reality or the message of the gospel is that God came to us. Philippians 3:8 says this, what is more, says the Apostle Paul, this is one of my life scriptures, what is more? What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. You got to do a bit of a theology study on that word rubbish, and you'll find out what the kind of language he's actually using. I won't use it this morning because we're in church and it's PG. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. I remember as a young adolescent teenager, jump on the bus after school and take the bus home. And it was a short walk from the bus stop to my house. And pretty much just every afternoon, it was like just Groundhog Day. First thing I'd do when I'd get home would be run to the kitchen or race to the kitchen and open up the pantry, open up the fridge and make me some afternoon tea. And I remember Mum would quite often say this. She would say, don't spoil your dinner. Mum say that to anyone else here? Don't spoil your dinner. Because if you junk out on too much afternoon tea, you're going to have no room for this lovely, beautiful meal that Mum's preparing. Don't spoil your dinner. And some of us, in the same way, have lost our appetite. You wonder why you've lost your hunger for God, because you've spoiled your dinner. Can we just bow our heads and close our eyes? There's just one thing I want to do before we do anything else. I'm going to wrap up shortly. But I just want to put the call out to anyone here this morning. You need to get your life right with Jesus. And I don't know where you're at, what you're going through, what you're journeying through. But here this morning, you may be the one of three people. You may be here and maybe this is your first time in church. Welcome. We so love having you here and having visitors here. And maybe you never prayed a prayer that invites Jesus into your heart and gets you right with Jesus. And we would love to just lead you in a simple, simple prayer. And a prayer that just invites Jesus into your heart. Or maybe you're here this morning and for whatever reasons, you may be backslidden, you may be distant from God, you're not where you once were. And you need to get your life right, your heart right with Jesus this morning. Well, maybe you're here this morning, and I feel like this might be some people. Maybe you're just not sure. You're just not sure. You're just not sure where you're at. One of the best things you could do is be sure and to pray that prayer this morning. And just as every eye is closed, every head is bowed, I'm going to just count to three. And if you're one of those people, and you need to get your life, your heart right with Jesus, I just want you to just lift your hand and just give me a wave. No one else is looking right now, and this is just between you and I, or really God and you for that matter. But just give me a wave, and just so I can acknowledge that, and we can pray that prayer with you together. You can stay in your seat. We're not going to embarrass you or anything like that. You're amongst family and friends. But it's already the hand up the back there, or there's two hands up the back there. I haven't even counted to three yet, but let's just do that. Come on, one, two, three. Come on, if that's you, just reach out your hands. Come on, one, two, three. Who else is there? Four. Anyone else here this morning? I'll just wait just a moment. I don't have heaps of time, but this is what it's about. This is the most important part of what we do is people come unto Jesus. And so if that's you this morning, anyone else this morning, young person, let's wait now some 10, 15 seconds. If that's you, I just want you to reach out your hand and say, Dan, that's me. I want to get right with God, get right with Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, just everyone just keep your eyes closed, your head bowed. If that was you, just can you just reach your hand just so I can see it again. Yeah, beautiful. One, two, three, four, five. It's like about five or six people. Amazing. And can we do this as a church? Can we stand on our feet? Give these people a hand. You might not know who they are, but let's just stand on our feet. How do you guys do this in your church? Yeah, cool. We're gonna there's about I think five or six people. And we're just going to pray this prayer together. I don't know if you may have done this before or know how this works, but if you haven't, I'm just going to pray a prayer, and you're going to repeat it after me, and we're all going to pray it together and pray it with you. And it's just a simple, simple prayer that invites Jesus into your heart and gets you right with God. So it's a simple prayer. I'm going to pray it. You're going to say it after me. Are we all good? Could we give these people just one more hand? We're so proud of you. We're so proud of you. But let's pray this together. Dear Jesus. Let's do it again. Dear Jesus, here I am. I invite you into my heart. Jesus, I'm sorry. I repent. I pray that you would cleanse me in the blood of Jesus. That you'd wash me clean. Make me whole. I receive you this morning. And Jesus, from this day on, I will live for you all the days of my life. And everyone said, come on, let's give the Lord some praise this morning. Come on, someone shout hallelujah. Come on, let's lift the roof off.